You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Real Housewives news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Hi, everyone. Mari Stagel here. Unfortunately, I am far away from Beverly Hills and back in New York City, but I did land just in time to catch last night's dramatic episode, and now I'm joined by Jackie Moran. Jackie, what were your thoughts about Taylor, Kim, the entire episode? I mean, what did you think?
Honestly, I think it was like a competition between who can be, you know, crazier and slur their words more and, you know, make as little sense as possible between Camille and Kim. And they quickly switched roles as Kim was acting motherly in the beginning and then was the one who needed some help towards the end. So I can't wait to chat about it all. And I'm a little depressed too, Mari, because I as well have left Beverly Hills and I got to meet Camille live, and I believe we're going to show that clip later.
Yes, I can't wait. We're making our viewers and listeners wait just a little bit till we get to our news and gossip segment. We have some great news and gossip, including our exclusive interview with Camille Grammer from last week's AfterBuzz TV show at the Emmy Gift Suite at the Mondrian Hotel.
So excited.
I can't wait for you to give us that scoop.
Yes, I will have plenty to share on Camille.
I know, I wish I was there. Jackie tweeted me last week saying, I'm sitting down with Camille Grammer, and you met the new housewife, or friend of the housewife, as they're calling her, Dana. So I can't wait to get your opinions on her, too.
Yes, and I have plenty to share there.
So before we get into our great news and gossip for the week, let's talk about the episode. I mean, we went from one meltdown to the other, so it started off with Taylor's meltdown, which was a continuation of last week's episode. You know, we left off with her crying in the jacuzzi with Kyle, between the jacuzzi, the altitude, the alcohol, and just her general depression and anxiety over this marriage. It was all a bad mix. I mean, it was like seeing a train wreck between, like, weirdly bawling and apologizing to Kim and saying she was such an asshole and I feel so bad about our relationship and everything I did to you and how apologetic she is, to then hiding in her suitcase, to then cussing constantly about this missing makeup bag, to then sitting at the table saying I never eat with her eyes glossed over, crying every minute. I mean, it was a total train wreck. And, you know, all I kept thinking is, knowing what we know now, it's hard to watch. You know, it goes from a point of being, I hate to say entertaining even, but, you know, when Crazy Kelly got crazy on Real Housewives of New York, it was always entertaining. You know, it's sad, it's dramatic. Here, it's almost uncomfortable knowing what we know now and seeing this breakdown, because it makes me wonder, if she's having this much of a meltdown at that point, I can only imagine what she's like now, and that's what's scary. So, Jackie, what did you think about her meltdown?
I think you called it with that was the exact word I was going to use, Mari, uncomfortable. I really felt with these scenes with Taylor that I was put into the room with her and was like, somebody in the corner trying, like, just feeling completely awkward, and I almost just wanted to turn off my TV because I just didn't know what to do. As I was watching it, I'm just like, what is going on. It's one of those scenes where your mouth is just wide open the whole time and your eyes are just as wide wondering, what is she doing? I mean, you know, I don't even know if I felt so bad for her in this scene because I just felt like, I don't know if it was a nervous breakdown as much as just like a drunk state of being where she just totally had an outer body experience. But no matter what happened, it was so, in my opinion, I think it was just so rude of her when you're at somebody's home, this is Camille's home, to completely take over the dinner, drain all of the other guests. As Adrian said, she went home emotionally drained. Now, of course, she didn't know what she was doing, apparently, but you know what? You're an adult. You may be going through a lot, but I actually was annoyed with her and her breakdown. I mean, it was uncomfortable. If she is in the state, she shouldn't have been part of this trip, or she shouldn't have drank. If I were her, I would really regret this, no matter what she's going through. And I like Kyle during this, and even Kim, before she goes off on her tangent, I liked Kyle came off very grounded, and, you know, she didn't even want to explain it to her husband. That's how crazy she thought it was. And I think Kyle and Kim were the two grounded ones in this scene because Kim lightened things up, thank God.
Well, you know what? At first I thought, okay, this is a breakdown. This is a woman we are watching crumbling before us, and she is. But I understood it a little bit more when she was talking with her life coach, and she said that it was the fact that everyone was giving her their own perspective, and everyone wanted to give her their version of what her marriage was, and that was what she couldn't handle, and that's why she had a breakdown. And, you know, she shouldn't talk to her friends about her marriage. It only confused her in complicated matters, and I agree with that because sitting at that dinner table, they're telling her, you know, don't you deserve better? You know, don't blame yourself. Two separate happy homes are better than one miserable home. You know, they're all asking her questions and giving her their own perspective based off of their marriage that I understand how that could be overwhelming. But you know what? She did bring that attention on herself, I guess.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I think if I don't know why, but I just don't feel as bad for her as I felt in the past episodes because I feel like she, as you just said, Mari, she invited the attention and then she went home and was like, I couldn't handle it. But you know what? It was almost like she wanted that all to happen and she wanted that attention. And I just think I really think it was selfish. I know you're saying overwhelming. It came off as sort of, I mean, when you're in a bad state in life, you kind of don't realize you're being self-absorbed, but it was self-absorbed to me.
But you know what makes me question Bravo's decision to run the season as soon as they did is that clearly the Taylor Russell storyline is a major storyline. I was not sure at first how big of a storyline it was going to be, and I thought, okay, if they can minimize it, maybe they can get away with making this season so soon after his death. But the third episode, this last night's episode, was the first time we heard Russell's name spoken when, you know, they were discussing the fact he didn't go to boys' night because of San Diego. And then not only is the entire meltdown in Colorado a main focus, but all the other scenes with all the other women is talking about what happened. Kyle and Adrian are talking about how she's too thin, she's having a breakdown. Camille's talking about how she has the chance to go to therapy. Kyle and Mauricio are talking about how sad, you know, everything with Taylor was and she was too embarrassed to tell her. So it was like, clearly that's a huge storyline, and it really makes me think, if I'm uncomfortable watching it, then everyone has to be uncomfortable watching this.
Yes, and I do agree with you, Mari. This is why, you know, Bravo should really have thought twice because they're inviting so much controversy around somebody's literal suicide. I mean, that's not a joke. That is a pure tragedy. And again, here is Bravo to me coming off very unsympathetic to this situation, as I felt in the first episode, because they're continuing to highlight this major, major storyline, as you said, that ends in tragedy. They know what it ends in. And, you know, I just, again, question Bravo on this because it's kind of, is it humane? I don't know how humane this is. I know there's shock value and you go to certain lengths for television, but is this going too far? I question that throughout this whole episode.
Yeah, I'm going to start bringing our viewers and listeners the ratings numbers from each episode because I have a feeling that they're going to drop because people are going to get uncomfortable watching the Russell Taylor storyline unfold. And I could be wrong, and people could want to see that because, you know, there's some real drama there and they could want to see it and be intrigued by it. But I'm curious as to how the ratings do because of what's going on and because of Bravo's decision to rush this.
And just to add to that, Mari, Camille actually commented on the ratings that they opened up to, and so everybody has to stay tuned for our exclusive interview with Camille because she does mention that in the beginning of the interview.
Well, I can't wait to hear about that, and you also got to ask her about her portrayal this season, and I can't wait to hear about all that. The portrayal, I think... At least, I mean, this was such a stark difference from the beginning to the end of the episode, but at least in the beginning of the episode, the person who was portrayed best this episode, I thought, was Kim. For once, I thought it was really good to see Kim in a motherly role, like Kyle said. It was good to see Kim taking care of Taylor. I think someone who has problems themselves, it's always good when they get the chance to try to help and lead others. And, you know, she was the one who lightened the mood, and Kyle even said, you know, to Mauricio at dinner, that it was good to be on the same page as Kim, you know, them working together on a common goal, which was helping Taylor. So I think that was good for Kim. Unfortunately, that didn't last long, but what did you think of at least the first half of the episode with Kim?
Well, Mari, I've said this in Real Housewives of New York, and I started to say it with this season of Housewives of Beverly Hills, but from episode to episode, my opinion of these ladies changed. Now it's even within the same episode, my opinion went from high to low of Kim, which is amazing to me. But you're right. I really liked during this scene how Kim called it out, said this should not have been discussed at the table. She lightened the mood. Don't make me throw my napkin at you. And then she was doing magic on her and going bam, bam, you know. Definitely her and Kyle, who also said, she's got a lot going on. It's the altitude. It's the alcohol. Come on, we're on vacation. You know, they called it out perfectly. That was exactly what I was thinking. And Kim really was on a high note here, but as you said, Mari, it did not last long.
I know. So basically, before I get into Kim's total drunkenness, I just want to set it up for viewers and listeners. Obviously, Adrian and Paul invited her to see the final Sacramento Kings game, which I thought, you know, this scene between Adrian and Paul was interesting, just seeing the way that they interact when it comes to business. I love Adrian for this. She's a strong businesswoman, and basically they are wanting to sell the Sacramento Kings to another city, or not sell it, but move them to another city, and so the Sacramento fans are pretty pissed off about that. So Paul thought, okay, we should not be in our normal suite. People know we're there. They're going to attack us. And Adrian said, I don't want to hide. What's the purpose of that? And, you know, and said, don't interfere with my business. And you know what? I kind of agree with Adrian here. She's the one who owns the team. She has that business acumen. And don't hide. Why hide, you know, from the fans? So we'll have to see how it unfolds next week. But I'm siding with Adrian on this one.
Absolutely. And I loved, you're right, I loved how she really came off as that sort of lifestyles of the rich and famous, which is actually quoting a line from Camille from her interview, which we have coming up. But this really, I think, is a perfect example of what Bravo wants to achieve with these Real Housewives series, and that's really inside that rich and famous lifestyle where you're hopping on the private jet, you're going to the team sports team that you own and sitting in the suite, and you know, the business problems that go along with it. And where she could have come off as just some woman going off and not paying attention to what's going on, she really did come off as like a hard-as-nails businesswoman and, you know, really stood up to her husband, which I don't think they have any serious problems. I don't think they bicker more than any normal couple might, so I'm not worried about them, but I really do like the way she held her own. She really proved what kind of level she's on as far as her background, and it was just very interesting to see that side of Adrian.
Yeah, and I do agree with her.
She was standing tough.
Yeah, so we'll have to see next episode how the fans do react, because we got a little glimpse of that. But either way, however strong the reaction is, I still agree with Adrian's opinion. But that wasn't even the craziest part. I mean, they previewed this phone call with Kim last week, and I thought to myself, this is insane. Seeing the full thing was so crazy. It was sad because you're listening to a clear alcoholic, but it was almost funny because it was so ridiculous. She goes from one end to another. They call her because she shows up. She doesn't show up to the airport. She's running late. They call her. At first, she doesn't even know who's calling and is getting pissed off, like, who's calling? Who's calling? And then says, I'm sorry. I love you guys. I feel terrible. I feel horrible. My power went out. I'm rushing. And then she goes into some weird tangent. It's a nice airport. I love the planes over there. I was ready to draw my hair in a ponytail. She went from this tangent to that to this. Like, that was a clear sign of an alcoholic conversation if I've ever seen one. I mean, it was almost mesmerizing to watch. It was so crazy. So, you know, I was almost shocked. I love Adrian, and for all the business acumen she has, she kept making excuses for Kim and said, she was sick last week. We'll have to wait for her. And Paul's like, she's not showing up anytime soon. Are you kidding me? She's intoxicated. So at this point, I agree with Paul.
Well, this is the beauty of watching a show where on demand where you can rewind, because Kim's conversation in the limo was the kind of conversation that you need to hear again, because you're just wondering, like, did I miss something? Did my TV cut out on me? Because you're right, it was just a ping pong conversation where she was like, who? Who's this? Oh my God. I'm so excited to go with you. I love the airplanes there. My hair's in ponytail. It's Sacramento Kings. Like, she was just shouting things out. And I had to replay it a few times to really make sure I heard it right. And I still just could not make sense of what she was saying. Now, I don't want to side with Paul just yet. I do see Adrian's point where you don't know what's going on. Maybe she could have been in a dead sleep. I mean, who knows? It definitely wasn't normal behavior. It wasn't a normal conversation, but I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt just for good behavior in the beginning of the episode, and I really am waiting to see how it plays out next week, and I hope it was just some crazy misunderstanding, because she did not come off good in that conversation.
Yeah. So still, watching drunk Taylor is sad, and watching drunk Kim is kind of more funny than anything, like more entertaining than anything. I know that sounds bad because she must have a problem and must be from alcoholism, but watching her is entertaining. It's not like uncomfortable, you know?
I totally agree. She's sort of that Sonia factor where she just makes me laugh, and I kind of don't take her seriously, though she may have a serious problem. We don't know, but you're right. There's, for some reason, it's just watching somebody who's a mess, but in a funny way.
Yeah, well, we have some incredible news in gossip. Besides our exclusive interview with Camille Grammer, we also have, I have news about Taylor Armstrong's very first interview since Russell's suicide. And DJ Jesse Janity has some scoop for us on the ladies on Anderson Cooper yesterday. So why don't we go to a quick commercial break before I come back to our incredible, jam-packed news and gossip section.
Want to find out what the AfterBuzz is about?
Janice is a drama queen.
This is the divide that is going to carry the series.
Give us a call. 424-256-1729. 424-256-1729.
6-17-29.
It's television, and they want it to be as dramatic as possible.
I mean, it's Shakespearean.
You never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Find out why AfterBuzz TV is the number one source for after-show content.
Now, in the eyes of Jimmy, Nucky is a villain.
424-256-1729.
424-256-1729.
I mean, who would you guys rather hear that from?
Your husband or your best friend?
The wig!
The wig will come out. That wig.
When the TV show is over, get your After Buzz on.
So, DJ Jesse Janity, do you have our exclusive interview with Camille Grammer ready for our viewers and listeners?
Do I have an exclusive interview? What are you asking me? Of course I have an exclusive interview. This past week, we were at the Emmys 2011 gift suite at the Carrie Feinstein Style Lounge. So make sure you check out. We had tons of different interviews. Celebrities were just popping in and out. And we actually, luckily, Mari had just stepped out, but Jackie was there to save the day. We had both ladies from The Housewives there. And you guys, if you're listening at home and you're watching on Ustream, you're actually going to get to see the video stream live right now of the interview.
Okay, so let's play it for our listeners and our viewers. And then, Jackie, when it's done, you want to give us the extra scoop?
Absolutely.
You gave the show a big boost, and people really dig it. So I'm glad that you came back for the season. It's been a good season so far.
Thank you, thank you. I was a little disappointed with the first season, so I thought, you know, why not have another go at it?
It's always tough to watch yourself on TV.
It's impossible to watch yourself on TV.
Oh my god!
I had to jump in, ladies, because I host. Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Oh my gosh. I am actually the host of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills After Show, along with Mari Fagan.
No!
And we are, of course, are huge fans of the show. We said it's our favorite Housewives, edition.
Well, it's the best Housewives edition.
It is.
Thank you.
And you're so level-headed this season.
I know. I am, if anybody really knew.
Now, we just covered the last episode with your amazing home and the ski trip, which we love. The fashions, the home, everything was amazing. How did you feel about that episode with...
I really enjoyed that episode because it saw a playful side of us in the beginning and towards the end, you know.
Not so much.
Yes, it was fun. But I think for sure it's good to show the girls getting along, having a good time, and showing more of a lifestyles of the rich and famous kind of.
And
Mari
and I were talking about this.
More playful.
We said that, I personally said that, I love the way you're being portrayed this season.
Thank
because
you.
Because I know last season there was some drama and bound to happen, right? How do you like the way you're being shown what
you're
like? I'm very
pleased with this season so far because I feel they're capturing who I really am.
Yes.
So, you know, because I'm pretty level-headed, down-to-earth. I mean, I'm a little crazy, but crazy in a good way, in a fun way.
Everyone's a little bit crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. Okay. Yeah.
It happens. Last year I went through a lot, and I didn't expect
anything. Let's just hope we don't end up in Vegas.
Yes.
What happened in Vegas?
What happens in Vegas?
Brandy, they're doing some...
Oh, stop.
Dirty dancing together.
We have to talk about
it.
Okay.
You're not allowed.
You've teased us.
Kill us.
You've teased us.
Well, ladies, maybe you can come into our show or call into our show when Vegas plays out. And we host it weekly, so we'd love to have you guys back. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having
thank
us
you
on.
So much.
Thank you for meeting everybody. Good. Have a great day.
You too. Enjoy yourself.
Bye, you guys.
Bye.
Happy Emmys.
Happy Emmys.
Oh, we're going to get a
group shot.
Group shot. One more, they want a picture.
Okay, so Jackie, listening to that, first of all, I love that you asked her about, you know, how she thinks she's being portrayed, you know, because last season, I really despised her, and it's funny because you love her this season. So what is she like in person? See, I had to ask her that because what I have to tell you guys, and I wish I could have spent more time with her, but I wanted to save it to get her to call into the show, which she did say she would, so I hope she does call into the show before the season's out. But I have to tell you guys, I absolutely have been a fan of Camille this season, and I am a fan of her even more after meeting her in person. She described herself as level-headed and down-to-earth, and that's exactly how she came off in the Emmy suite. She was very kind, very gracious. She was
she was warm. You know, there was no reason for her to have to sit down and, you know, join us. And she, knowing all of the controversy going on, and I really have to say my opinion of her is even higher. And I like that she said, you know, I'm crazy, but in a good way. Last year, she owned up to the fact that she went through a lot. And I really think she's on a good note right now in life. And I think it shows after meeting her in person. And by the way, she looked gorgeous, too.
Well, before I get into some more, you know, I want to hear more about her and your interview with her. I do want to share with our viewers and listeners, she's actually dating someone new. She didn't give many details about him, but she did tell E! News he's just a regular guy who's not in the business and that he's very sweet and caring, and they've been seeing each other for a couple months now and that things are going great. So, you know, maybe that's the new kick in her step.
Absolutely. And also, speaking of stepping and dancing and all that, Dana Wilkie is this other housewife that is due to come on episode four, which is, I believe, will be next week, so we can see the premiere of her. And apparently, our other new housewife, Brandy, will be doing some, I don't know if you guys heard that clearly, but they're going to be doing some dirty dancing in Vegas. So I have a feeling some things are going to go down, and I'm very curious to see what plays out there.
So what did you think of Dana? Dana is actually Taylor's friend, and she's not being called a housewife, nor is Brandy. They're being called friends of the housewives. So what did you think of Dana?
Well, I have to say, coming from Camille's background, Camille really carried herself like a true housewife, like a leading lady, like the wife of somebody, ex-wife now, of somebody of that level of a Kelsey Grammer. Whereas Dana, I have to say, and it's not a negative to her, it actually might be a positive, she came off as very innocent, not really familiar with the scene, you know, a little unsure of herself. And I think it's because she's probably in this new setting and will find some new fame, 15 minutes of fame from this. Whereas Camille almost carried herself on a whole nother level. Dana seemed to, like, just be getting her feet wet in all of this. And so I think she'll be very interesting on the show, because I think that's how I expect her to come off on the show as well.
Yeah, I don't really have high hopes when it comes to Dana bringing the drama, because when it comes to the teasers and the previews, they seem to really be focusing on Brandy Glanville and the drama she has with the girls. I didn't really see much of Dana. I'm not sure if she's going to be more of the, you know, Cindy Barshef of New York, or more of the Sonia who just kind of comes in and rides it. I think Sonia, Brandy Glanville is going to be like Sonia and just, you know, find a niche and rock it. I think that maybe Dana, you know, with these established reality shows, unless you bring the drama from the second you step in or that X factor, you're going to drop.
Absolutely. And I agree that I'm looking at Brandy as somebody who's really going to come in and bring it based on those previews, based on her background. Absolutely. And her name popped up in the interview right away. So I definitely am looking more at Brandy. And Dana seems like a very nice person, I will say that much. So however she ends up being portrayed, I know she's a nice person from meeting her. And she just doesn't seem to have that sort of pizzazz to her that will make her soar on a show like this. She seemed sort of in Camille's shadow and a little unsure of herself. So when you get in the middle of these housewives, you have to just get in there and go for it. So I'm curious to see how it plays out. But let me just reiterate, Mari, because I know we differ on Camille. I promise you, she was just such a delight to meet in person, so kind, and I hope that she rides this train out of being portrayed in a better light, because that's exactly what came off to me in person.
Well, I'm in the very beginning stages, let's say that, of changing my tune about Camille, because she did tweet back at me yesterday when I tweeted at her thanking her for doing the interview with AfterBuzz at the Emmy Gift Suite, and she said, thank you, I had so much fun. So, you know, I'm changing my tune with her. We'll have to see. I'm not holding my breath because I know that she has that other side of her that we saw last season, and I think that people don't change. But right now, I'm liking her.
Good. I'm happy to hear that.
And you know what I thought was interesting is that her PR person specifically told us at AfterBuzz not to discuss the suicide or her divorce.
Right. I mean, they were definitely adamant about the suicide. And so, you know, but I thought it was, I agree, it's very interesting. You know, I think they wanted maybe to keep it in a positive light. I mean, the Emmys gift suite is a happy, fun thing for them. They were having a great time. They stayed for a very long time in the gift suite compared to some other celebrities who walked through very quickly. They enjoyed everything. They took time to take a lot of pictures. Really were having fun with it. And so maybe they wanted to stay on a positive note.
Yeah. Well, you know, who did talk about the suicide is Taylor has finally broken her silence. Tonight, she spoke with Entertainment Tonight regarding Russell Armstrong and their marriage. She told them, quote, "He grabbed me by the neck and shoved me against the wall, and he said, 'If you ever make my children a pizza without a vegetable again, I'll kill you.'" So we're starting to get a sense of, you know, what he was like. You know, we heard in her divorce papers, she said he had been physical and abusive with her. You know, we never heard the language, and so that was pretty rough to hear. And then she also explained how she told Kennedy, her daughter, about the death. And she said, "I just told her Daddy got sick and he died, and that we could pick a star in the sky that could be Daddy and that she could talk to him every night." So, you know, I'm surprised that she broke her silence so quickly. But that's what she had to say.
I don't know how I feel about that because, honestly, her breaking her silence so quickly, and not just breaking her silence, Mari, but to share details like that about him grabbing her by the neck, shoving her against the wall, the way she handled it with her daughter, you know, it's really making me question my opinion of Taylor through this tragedy, even if she doesn't care about it, because that comes off as very insensitive to the whole situation. And even if she wants more attention out of it, more media out of it, which is what she's coming off like here by giving an interview like this, be more respectful of your daughter through this situation. I really don't agree with the fact that she shared these kinds of details on Entertainment Tonight, no less.
Yeah, and I wanted to bring in our own DJ Dusty Janity to share with us what the ladies, I believe it was Adrian, Kyle, and Lisa, who were on Anderson Cooper yesterday discussing the suicide. Jesse, what were they talking about with him?
What up, ladies? Yes, I was just in the AfterBuzz studios flipping through the channels, and lo and behold, the three ladies from Beverly Hills. Actually, I thought it was Demi Moore, honestly. I'm not going to lie. I thought Kyle Richards was Demi Moore. From afar.
That is a nice compliment to Kyle, but I agree.
Absolutely, because then as I got closer, I was like, wow, what's Demi been up to? And I realized, oh, it's the Housewives of Beverly Hills. I said, you know what? I told Mari, I told Jackie I would love to join in on the Beverly Hills drama since I'm now into all the Housewives. So I watched the episode. I don't know, guys. I don't know, but I do have to say I'm very Team Camille after watching the episode because they Skyped her in. She did not talk about the suicide at all, but she did talk a lot about her divorce, which was really interesting and really made me look at Kelsey Grammer very differently. But as far as the suicide goes, the girls basically were prepped so much for this. It was like watching a 2011 Britney Spears interview. I mean, Anderson was hitting them with really hard questions as far as saying, do you think the show helped? I'm so sorry. What was his name? Was Richard?
That the show kind of led to his suicide.
Yeah. The girls said absolutely not. They signed up for this. You know, they knew what to expect. The husbands were in the audience, and even they said he's a very distant person. It was really hard to connect with him. He kept his, you know, his personal things very quiet and to himself. Always would lock himself kind of away from everybody. And then as far as Anderson, you know, felt, you know, it's really uncomfortable watching this season. He's like, I thought I would be over it after the first episode. He's like, but I see, you know, I watched the second episode and I'm still feeling uncomfortable. He's like, is it uncomfortable for you guys that Bravo went ahead and, you know, went with this? He said, do you guys think that they're using the suicide to get ratings? All three of the girls, no, no, no. You know, we respect the decision of Bravo. You know, if anything, we think that it's important to show, you know, that, you know, life goes on and, you know, we need to, kind of like, it's not that we're hiding from it, but, you know, we're out speaking about it publicly now. And it's not that we're hiding from it, but it's just, we respect the network, and if the network wanted to go on at this specific time, there has to be a reason why. They were very loose about everything that they were talking about as far as the suicide, and I actually have some comments of some people who were in the audience.
Great.
One of the people said, I was in the studio audience for the Beverly Housewives taping. I started out thinking that it was okay to edit the shows because of the suicide of Taylor Armstrong's husband, but by the time I left the studio, I felt differently. Many edits could have been made to the show to protect the stars, including the editing of the limo scene with Kim and Kyle. I now believe that if, in fact, it is a reality series, then all the pre-suicide tapings should have been scrapped and taping should have begun all over again. Either it's reality or it's altered reality. Bravo, how are you playing it? You can't have it both ways. Another person said, I was also in the taping, and I actually wondered how much would be said about the suicide. I was very impressed with how Anderson handled the questions and honest approach at the matter. I enjoyed the show, but now believe that the show might be scripted. To watch these girls talk about it, I mean, obviously PR is going to prep them for something like this. This is Anderson's new show, so of course this is going to boost his ratings up. Just very interesting to me that now everybody's talking about the suicide, that they're all coming out to talk about it at the same time. I don't know, so before I get into Kelsey, what do you guys think about that as far as the scripted and prepping for?
I mean, it's interesting to hear what the people from the show watching the taping thought. I don't think that the actual show is that scripted. I think that there's major storylines that they run with. I do agree that they were probably overly prepped for this interview, and so it's making them come off as insincere.
And I have to say that I think I actually agreed with that comment where why not scrap the whole thing and just start over? But you know what? It's budget. It's all about money when it comes to TV, and that would have cost Bravo so much money. But what is that fine line between doing the right thing and, you know, honoring budget and money and good television and ratings? You know, it's just I'm still questioning Bravo on all of this.
But I'm dying to hear about what Camille had to say about Kelsey.
Honestly, this is the part of the interview that really I was excited for and really found more interesting. I was sucked in about the suicide. But again, it was very wishy-washy what they were talking about. But so Camille came on, and she was in Beverly Hills. She couldn't fly out to New York because her son was starting at a new school, apparently. So I don't know. But then also I found out that her and a couple of the girls that were in studio used to not get along, but now they say they're getting along and whatnot. But so I don't know how much of the story you guys know about the divorce, but I was very unaware that they believe Kelsey set Camille up with the show so that way he wouldn't look like a bad guy when the breakup was happening. Basically, he had his mistress. He had met his mistress, who was a flight attendant. a month before the taping of the show. I want to say the first season. It was a month before he flew to New York to do La Cage, one of the whatever the Broadway play he was in at the time. And he was making all these frequent trips to New York. And Cooper was like, hello, warning bell. Like, you know, your husband says, oh, I'm going to be going to New York. And he's making random trips to New York before the show starts. He's like, didn't you, like, you know, isn't that a warning light, you know, going off in your head or something like that? You know, and Camille, it was really cool to see her reaction because it was very genuine, very honest, and it was almost like, well, are you really saying this to me? And she was really taken back by, he's such a fan of the show, so it was like a real fan, like, actually, like, asking whatever questions he wanted to. So it was really cool, that aspect of it. But very genuine with her answers as far as, you know, the breakup. And then, you know, he brought up that one of the plot, it, like I said, one of the plots that people are saying is that, and she agreed with him, the fact that she believes that Kelsey set the whole, you know, housewives situation up so she would have a name, so she would have herself established, knowing that he was going into this and going to leave her. Now, then Anderson...
You know, there's always been rumors about that, that he set her up with the show so that she would be distracted, but I still find that either hard to believe or that Kelsey is an idiot, because then that brought even more publicity and press to what he did to her and to their nasty divorce. It was already going to be news because he's Kelsey Grammer, but the fact that she was a reality star just brought even more publicity to the situation. So if the rumors are indeed true, then Kelsey, I think, is just stupid.
And, you know, stupid, I don't know, I think he really might be stupid because, you know, when it came down to it, when he brought it up to her, just like literally watching her face was just, I don't know, I feel like she's been so humbled down as a person. You can really tell, you know, I'm from Cape Cod, so I've deal with lots of very wealthy people, and they have this arrogance about them. And even seeing Camille at the gift suite, you know, she seemed like she's just been through a lot and really worn down. And, you know, she throws her little witty comments out, but she's there, but she's not fully there. And the same thing with this interview. She was just... I felt like she was going to break down at one point, like the way she was responding with the questions. You know, she had her little smile on because that's what the good housewife does. But she just kept coming with this mediocre tone. And when he brought that up, you know, she kind of just paused and like took a deep breath. And to me, the way she responded back to him was almost like, yeah, I do think this is how it went down. Because then Anderson played the clip, I don't know if it was the clip from the show, of when Camille went out to New York to visit Kelsey, and she hadn't seen him, and she went to go give him a kiss, and it was really, really awkward. He asked her what she personally thought about, you know, that situation, and, you know, she was like, it was very awkward. She was like, I knew something was going on. She's like, but some, you know, when things like that happen, you don't want to admit it. You know, you don't want to admit to anything like that. And apparently, they aren't talking at all anymore. They were conversing through a lawyer. Now they're not even conversing through a lawyer. They converse through written paperwork. And that's the only contact that the two of them have with each other now.
Yeah, that's just unfortunate. When you have two kids, it's so sad. But I do have to say, DJ Jesse, thank you for all your incredible scoop. I think I'm going to make you Jesse the Scoop Janity for our weekly Real Housewives News and Gossip segment. How does that sound?
Love it.
Okay, well, I want to get to our final bit of news and gossip before we get into our predictions. Jackie, I wanted to tell you about my favorite Lisa. I love this about her. She's downsizing. Downsizing being the key word, between a $19 million house. She just sold her 17,000 square foot mansion in Beverly Park for $19 million and now is downsizing to a 10,000 square foot house for for $12 million since her two children are no longer home.
You have to love it. It reminds me of the scene during this episode where she was bossing Ken around and telling him they need to make the restaurant bigger, their restaurant serve. And, you know, she takes one for the team and she runs the show and she has these tricks that she uses. I actually am liking Lisa this episode, and I always say that her and Adrian come off as like the wealthiest, that true lifestyles of the rich and famous. And this is just a perfect example that downsizing for her is a $12 million home.
Well, I'm glad you finally liked her this episode. I hope you continue to. But let's get into some predictions for next week, because next week's episode looks so juicy.
Mm-hmm.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So I'm excited to see the Sacramento Kings game and what exactly happens with the fans, but more importantly, what happens with Kim. Does she show up? Is she sober? What's going on? But even more dramatic than that, I'm excited to finally see Brandi Glanville. It looks like she's introduced at Kyle's charity cocktail party, but it looks like from the second she steps in with her crutch at the cocktail party, her and Kyle are already fighting. So I just can't wait for, like, the introduction of this super biatch.
Yeah, I am with you on that, Mari. I have Brandy's name keeps popping up from Camille's interview to Vegas to the previews. We know her past history with drama, the Leanne Rimes drama, all this stuff. I think Brandi is going to be a character to watch, and I'm dying to see how things end up with Kim and the crazy phone call and the Sacramento Kings game.
Well, I'm already counting down to all that drama. We have 6 days left to go. DJ Jesse, the Scoop Janity, I hope you can join me next week with some news and gossip. Jackie, I'm excited for you to join me next week so we can finally talk about Brandi. And hopefully we'll get Camille or some other special guest to call in. So all our viewers and listeners, please join us next week for our episode 4 after show. And thank you for listening this week. Have a good night, everyone.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Bye.
See
you later.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.